Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Earth for All, A Survival Guide for Humanity is a nonfiction policy and systems book published under the Earth for All Initiative and associated with the Club of Rome. Written by Sandrine Dixon DeCleve and collaborators including economists, scientists, and systems thinkers. It examines how humanity can secure well-being for all within planetary limits, rather than treating climate change as an isolated environmental issue. The book frames it as part of a wider crisis involving inequality, poverty, social trust, food systems, and energy systems. Its central purpose is to show that current economic arrangements are unsustainable and that a different trajectory is still possible. The book uses system dynamics modeling to compare two broad futures: continued delay and worsening instability, or a more ambitious transformation built around five major turnarounds. It is aimed at readers who want a structured, evidence-informed account of what large-scale social and ecological change could look like in practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book links planetary crisis to inequality rather than treating climate as a standalone problem. A defining feature of Earth for All is its insistence that ecological breakdown and social inequality are connected parts of the same system. The authors argue that poverty, exclusion, and extreme concentration of wealth weaken societies, reduce trust, and make collective climate action harder. This shifts the discussion away from narrow emissions accounting and toward the social foundations of sustainability. The book uses the planetary boundaries framework to show that humanity is already beyond several safe limits. But it does not present this as a purely technical environmental failure. Instead, it emphasizes that unequal economies produce political instability, resistance to reform, and continued overuse of resources. This framing is important because it explains why many climate strategies fail. They ignore distributional questions. The book therefore argues that any serious response must improve living standards, reduce insecurity, and make reform politically durable. In practical terms, this means linking decarbonization with poverty reduction, fairness, and institutional legitimacy, rather than treating them as separate agendas. Secondly, the two-scenario structure makes the book a warning and a policy roadmap at the same time. The book is organized around two contrasting futures: Too Little Too Late and The Giant Leap. This structure is not just rhetorical. It is used to illustrate the consequences of delay versus coordinated transformation. In the delayed scenario, continued boundary transgression and persistent inequality increase the risk of social stress, falling well-being, and regional collapse. In the ambitious scenario, governments and societies take a set of reinforcing actions early enough to restore momentum. The value of this approach is that it translates abstract warnings into a decision framework. Readers are shown that the future is not predetermined, but also that incrementalism is unlikely to be sufficient. The book uses the scenarios to make trade-offs visible. If reforms are too slow, gains in one area can be erased by losses in another. By contrasting the two paths, it clarifies that the central issue is not whether change is needed, but whether it arrives at the scale and speed required. This makes the book both diagnostic and prescriptive. Thirdly, the five turnarounds are the book's core mechanism for systemic change. Earth for All is built around five turnarounds: ending poverty, tackling inequality, empowering women, transforming food systems, and accelerating the energy transition. These are presented as mutually reinforcing interventions rather than isolated policy ideas. Ending poverty expands human security and reduces vulnerability. Tackling inequality improves social cohesion and political legitimacy. Empowering women strengthens agency, education, and demographic and economic outcomes. Transforming food systems reduces pressure on land, biodiversity, and emissions. And accelerating the energy transition addresses the core fossil fuel driver of climate change. The book's strength lies in showing that these areas cannot be optimized separately. For example, cleaner energy alone will not produce durable well-being if poverty persists, and food system reform will be constrained if inequality remains extreme. By assembling these turnarounds into one framework, the book argues for a coordinated transition rather than fragmented reform. This gives the book a practical orientation. It is not merely describing problems, but identifying leverage points where policy can generate broad gains across social and ecological dimensions. Fourthly, its use of modeling distinguishes it from more argumentative climate books. A major feature of the book is its reliance on system dynamics modeling developed through the Earth for All Initiative and the 21st Century Transformational Economics Commission. This matters because the book is not simply making a moral case for change. It is trying to show how different policy choices interact over time. Modeling allows the authors to explore feedback loops between well-being, inequality, investment, social tension, and planetary pressures. That makes the book more structured than a general manifesto, because its claims are organized around plausible system behavior rather than isolated opinions. At the same time, the modeling should be read as a framework for comparing futures, not as a literal prediction machine. Its real value is in revealing how delay compounds risk and how synchronized reforms can create better outcomes. This approach gives the book credibility among readers looking for evidence-based policy thinking, especially policymakers and analysts. It also explains the book's visual and synthetic style. The argument depends on showing system relationships clearly enough for non-specialists to grasp the stakes of. Transformation. Lastly, the book is designed for policymakers and leaders who need actionable systemic guidance. Earth for All is positioned less as a general climate primer and more as a guide for decision makers. Its language is accessible, but its intended use is strategic. It offers a framework that governments, public institutions, and reform-minded leaders can translate into policy. The book stands out because it connects long-term planetary limits to immediate governance questions such as social stability, legitimacy, and inclusive prosperity. That gives it a different profile from books that focus mainly on personal behavior, technological optimism, or isolated environmental fixes. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand why climate policy must be bundled with economic reform, gender equity, and redistribution. The book's practical benefit is that it helps readers think in terms of systems and feedbacks rather than single-issue solutions. Its intellectual benefit is that it reframes sustainability as a civilizational redesign problem for readers in policy, advocacy, economics, or sustainability work. It offers a compact but ambitious argument for integrated reform and explains why partial measures are unlikely to be enough. In conclusion, Earth for All: A Survival Guide for Humanity should be read by policymakers, sustainability professionals, economists, development thinkers, and informed general readers who want a serious account of how ecological limits and social justice intersect. It is especially valuable for anyone seeking more than broad concern or moral urgency. The book provides a coherent framework for understanding why climate breakdown, inequality, and poverty reinforce one another, and why solutions must be systemic rather than piecemeal. Readers will gain a clear view of the five turnarounds, the logic behind the two scenarios, and the role of modeling in testing policy pathways. Compared with many books in the climate and future of humanity genre, it stands out for combining accessibility with analytical ambition. It does not rely mainly on alarm or inspiration. Instead, it offers an organized policy-facing map of where intervention may matter most. That makes it unusually useful for people who need to explain the case for transformation in institutional, economic, or public-facing settings. Its distinct contribution is that it treats well-being for all within planetary boundaries as a practical systems challenge, not a distant ideal. If you would like to support Sandrine Dixon de Cleve, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.